Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We will be reading verses 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. The Bible says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Holy Father, as we look at your holy word, enable us to see clearly what you are calling us to, and how, because of the blood of Jesus, we can live lives that you desire us to live. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus said that God's word is truth. He prays it in John chapter 17. Your word is truth. And he was echoing the sentiments of the psalmist who said, "The sum of your word is truth." All of God's word is true. Old Testament and New Testament agree that God's word is true and always will be true. Even when there are no Christians in the building, though the church has left the building, and while we may need to gather together electronically, through the various modes and media that we have, God's word is still true. And that is especially poignant when we think about what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. He is talking about the blood of Jesus and how the blood of Jesus is not unlike, well, my wife is very much into horticulture, plants and that sort of thing. If I'm not mistaken, she has an aloe vera plant out front of our house. And every now and again, someone may get a burn, maybe on the hand. You just go out to that aloe vera plant, take one of the leaves of that plant, and you break it, mangle it a bit, and you can apply the bit that oozes out of that plant onto that burn in order to give some alleviation of the pain and ultimately to heal that burn. And that's similar to what Jesus does on the cross. His body mangled, as it were. His blood coming out. And as you bleed that aloe vera plant in order to heal the burn, we had been burned by sin. And we would be burned for eternity, except Christ shedding his blood is applied to our wound. It is by his wounds that we are healed. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about when he talks about the blood of Jesus. Hebrews is the bloodiest book of the New Testament. Blood everywhere. And as you go through the book of Hebrews, and especially as we come here, verse 19 of chapter 10, the writer is summing up his argument. And he comes now to talk about the blood of Christ. And I say to you, my brothers and sisters, though we are under global pandemic because of COVID-19, the blood of Christ is still powerful and is still at work for us. The writer of Hebrews points out several ways in which the powerful blood of Jesus is at work for us. In verses 19 and 20 here of Hebrews chapter 10, the writer talks about how Christ's blood gives us confidence to enter God's presence. He says there in verse 19, we have confidence. Notice, we have. This is a present tense thing. It shows that this was for Christians in the first century. It is also true for Christians in the 21st century. It is true for Christians across all time and space that we have confidence to enter the holies, is literally what the writer says there, the holy places. We have access. We can enter into. You know, under the old covenant, it was only one person, one time a year, who could go in to the holiest of holies, the most holy place. That was the great high priest on the Day of Atonement. The writer of Hebrews says, not anymore. Under the old covenant, every priest stood daily ministering in the temple. The writer of Hebrews says, no longer. Because of Jesus' blood, because of his sacrifice on the cross, we have access. And indeed, we can go with confidence, we can go with boldness into even the very presence of God. That's the greatness of the new covenant. It is true. Our sins had caused a separation between us and God. Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Your sins have caused a separation between you and God. In order to be in the presence of holy God, we needed the removal of our sins. We needed the forgiveness of our sins, and we've already seen how without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. 9 and verse 22 says that in the book of Hebrews. Christ's single sacrifice, one time for all time, Christ's sacrifice on the cross for sins makes it possible for us to enter into the presence of holy God. It is why God can say, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. It's because of the blood of Jesus. And then there's a very interesting phrase here in verse 20. There's a new and living way that's been opened up for us. Through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. That is the flesh of Christ. Through the curtain, through his flesh. Again, a very surprising figure. In the temple, under the old covenant, you had the holy place. Priests would go in there and do things daily in the holy place. And then you had the most holy place, and that was where the great high priest entered one time a year, on the Day of Atonement. The holy place and the most holy place were separated, divided by a very tall and very thick curtain. And of course, we are told, you remember, in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, that on the day and even at the very moment when Jesus dies on the cross, that very thick, very tall curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place was torn into top to bottom. And that was to signify now we have access. Anybody can have access to the holy, the most holy place because of what Jesus did. As long as their faith is in Christ, they have access to the most holy place. And that, again, that symbolized that new and that living way that's been opened up. But the writer of Hebrews goes a bit further. And he pictures Christ's body being torn, as it were, so that his blood could open up that new and living way for us. Through his flesh, he says. That it is through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus on the cross that we have this new and living way opened up. Just marvelous. The levels of the forgiveness and the redemption, the salvation that Christ brings us on the cross. We have access. We can enter into the presence of God. We have been authorized by the blood of Jesus. And it's only the blood of Jesus that makes it possible for any of us to come into the presence of holy God. And you notice, we can come with confidence. Your translation may say boldness. That's good too. We can go with confidence. We can go with boldness. And this recalls what the writer has already written about back in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He writes there, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Throne room access. That's what Christ brings us through his atoning death on the cross. Throne room standing. We can come into the very presence of God, and we are authorized to be there by the blood of Jesus so that we can find mercy, so that we can find grace during our time of need. The writer doesn't stop there. So we come back to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Notice verse 21. Hebrews 10:21, he continues, he says, "Since we have a great priest over the house of God." That phrase, great priest, is actually it's a common phrase that's used in the Old Testament for the great high priest, the great priest. And then our great high priest, of course, is Jesus, the Son of God. We saw that, we read that there in Hebrews 4 and verse 14. And he is over the house of God. And we know from chapter 3 and verse 6 that God's house is God's people. That's us. We are God's house. And so throughout the book, the writer has emphasized the priesthood of Christ and how his priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood because he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7 has an extended discussion about that. So Christ is both the sacrifice, and he's also the priest offering the sacrifice. One and the same. He's the great high priest. He's also the sacrifice without blemish. But he's also a priest who has an eternal priesthood. He has a permanent priesthood. It is new. It is fresh. And this, the writer of Hebrews highlights back in chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. He says, "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he," that is, he's talking about Jesus here, "he holds the priesthood permanently because he continues forever." So what does that mean? We'll keep reading. Verse 25 of Hebrews 7 says, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So what's he saying? Well, Jesus, as the great high priest, he saves to the uttermost. You saw that, didn't you? He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. By his sacrifice, Jesus secures for his people an eternal salvation and an eternal redemption. And that's how the writer of Hebrews talks about salvation and redemption. Back in 5 verse 9, it's eternal salvation. Over in 9 verse 12, it's eternal redemption. As Jesus lives eternally, since he lives eternally, he saves eternally. He redeems eternally. Jesus doesn't just save us most of the way and then he expects us to finish the work. Go ahead, finish it off. He saves completely. He saves totally with nothing lacking. He saves to the uttermost. But not only that. Notice again also, 7:25, since he always lives, so he lives eternally, to make intercession for them. And that's for us as his people, those whom he saves to the uttermost. You see, as our great high priest, Christ intercedes on our behalf. As we draw near to the throne of God in prayer, Jesus intercedes for us. He intercedes on our behalf. Jesus lives eternally, and since he lives eternally, he intercedes forever. Again, it's not an incomplete intercession. He intercedes totally. He intercedes fully, nothing lacking. Our prayers reach the Father's ears because of the Son's intercessory work. That is, because he speaks on our behalf. So, that's what our great priest, who is over the house of God, does for us. It's marvelous how he saves to the uttermost, and then he intercedes to the uttermost as well. Now back to chapter 10 and verse 22. The writer says, "Let us draw near." Since all this is true about what Jesus has accomplished and done for us in the cross and in his atoning death, and even further, in his continuing life as our great high priest. Since all this is true, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, the washing with pure water, that is clearly a reference to baptism, to immersion, which every Christian undergoes. What happens when we are baptized? Well, he says here that our hearts are sprinkled clean. And the only thing that's able to clean our evil conscience is the blood of Jesus. And so when we are baptized, we come in contact with the blood of Jesus, and our hearts are sprinkled clean, totally washed all of our sins away. Externally, our bodies go down under the water. Internally, our hearts are washed under the blood of Christ. Back in chapter 9 and verse 14, we read, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And now conscience has come back. Our evil conscience is sprinkled clean. And the connection there is to our hearts as well. The force of what the writer is saying, it's impacting. Sometimes it's lost in English. The writer uses what's called the perfect tense, past completed action with present continuing results. And that indicates the completeness of the cleansing of Christ's blood. Our hearts have been sprinkled clean, and so they remain clean because of Jesus' blood. Our bodies, they were washed with pure water, and that washing is still good. Don't need to keep doing it. That's the force of what the writer is saying here. It's this ongoing cleansing where we remain clean. And when we were baptized, we came in contact with Jesus' blood for the first time. But his blood keeps washing us, keeps cleansing us of our sins. It keeps forgiving us. It's marvelous. The good news is so much gooder than I think we even understand sometimes. This is why we can have this full assurance of faith. It's not because of anything that we do. It's because of everything that Christ has done on our behalf. You know, in a moment, we are going to gather around the table. We're going to eat the bread and drink from the cup. And that bread symbolizes the body, his flesh. That cup symbolizes his blood. And as we eat and as we drink, it is a reminder. We remember what our Lord has done for us. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. It is why we can draw near, why we have a place at the table of our Lord, why we can draw near to the throne room of God and stand there, not in timid fear, but with confidence and with boldness. It's a glorious thing that our God has done in Christ Jesus. And again, brothers and sisters, Though we live under global pandemic and we are surrounded by all kinds of bad news, it is still true that the blood of Christ is powerful and is at work on our behalf. And it is still true that we have good news to share with others. And so I remind us of this. And there's so much more here. And we'll pick it up next week, verse 23, about our hope and about how all of this impacts our daily walk. But I want you to see, we laid some foundation work a couple weeks ago talking about the blood of Christ and how the blood has always been there throughout sacred history. And now it's as if all of that comes to bear on the argument that the writer of Hebrews is making here and how it is applicable for us even today. Let's commit this to prayer, shall we? Merciful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for what you have done in Christ Jesus, and we pray that we would never take this for granted, that we would live in the glorious light of the gospel, that we would live out of the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ, that we would recognize and accept the full and complete salvation and redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus, that we would make this known to as many people as possible. So we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.